All right. Well, welcome to our August Platinum call. It's great to be here with you guys. I'm going to share a couple of slides and try to make these calls a little bit more visual. So I'm experimenting with some of the stuff. Just bear with me while I bring in here some PowerPoint slides. I'd like to start on a positive note here. So just to kind of get the conversation started, would love to know what your biggest wins have been over the past few weeks. And you know, when I think of a win, I'm thinking of something where you feel an area of your business where you've made some progress. It can be big or small. It doesn't really matter. Something that makes you feel really good about you know, where you're heading, things that you're trying, something positive that has happened in your business over the past few weeks. Just type it into the chat box. Let me know there. And that will kind of kickstart the conversation while I kind of get things set up over here as well. Chat. Okay. So don't be shy, Leslie, Tim. It's a small group today. We're all family. Wins in your business over the past few weeks, things you feel good about, where you feel you're making some progress. I tell you, one win for me has been cash flow management. It's something that I've kind of dabbled in. I've had some basic rules, and I wouldn't call them systems. But really, I've been implementing some more better defined systems and rules in my business for cash flow management that have made a really big difference. I mean, just in every single way. And so I'm just really excited about that, because one thing that I'm discovering, and this is an area that I'm going to be focusing much more on in my, especially my coaching programs. When you think about it, it's if you can solve the cash flow problem in your business, that can help solve or alleviate 90% or more of your other problems. I find that many times the stress that comes from what we're doing is the stress of, you know, you have to generate a certain amount every month consistently. And let's face it, very, very difficult to do that in a freelance business. The income is very variable. Payments are variable. Cash flow is very variable, even if you're doing well. And I find that most of us are living right at the edge. And if we have very little margin, if we have an off month, that can get us in the wrong direction, and that can set off a chain reaction that's just very, very difficult to overcome. So it's been something that I started implementing much more formally a few months ago. I just feel really, really good about that. It's really helped. Leslie says, for me, invited to write a guest blog post, a social media breakfast, and I'm providing PR for a new author. Oh, awesome. Hey, congratulations. Good for you, Leslie. Tim says, getting my prospecting back in gear, working on a workflow that becomes automatic. Yes. So key, making this habitual is really the first step, Tim. And I know you got some questions about that. In fact, let's go ahead and go to questions. And here's what we're going to do. If you have a question or something you need help with today, type in capital Q for question in the chat area. That will let me know, you know, what it is you have. And keep it focused and specific as you can. So in other words, don't tell me, you know, I need to land clients. You know, how do I get clients? That's too broad. So try to narrow it down to something really focused and specific that I can hone in on and help you with. That way I can really give you the best advice and solution. And while I'm waiting, if you have anything, I know both of you pre-submitted questions, so I'm going to jump right into those. And what I'd like to do also is when you submit questions, I'll unmute you. So let me read Tim's first, and he's got a two-part question. And then, Tim, I'll bring you in, and we can chat about this. So Tim sent in this question. I'm currently refining my prospecting workflow. I have some prospects who have responded to my request to join my LinkedIn network, and I have others who I have found through LinkedIn and other means that I now keep in touch with via email and track my communications with them in the Insightly CRM. How quickly should I move communications with LinkedIn people over to email? As soon as I know what their email address is, or wait a bit to establish some trust in LinkedIn before making the move. Is there a rule of thumb I can follow for? Okay, so basically, say you got people, you have their email address, you maybe started the prospecting or the conversation through email. You have others where it's been more on LinkedIn, and you connected there. Maybe you started some dialogue, or you haven't, but either way, that they're kind of in this other bucket. And on the LinkedIn people, how soon should you try to get them over to email? My thoughts on that. And it's a great question, Tim. Let me bring you in. Unmute. I think this is glitching out on me. Hold on a sec. Oh, here we go, Tim. I think you're unmuted now. Yeah, how's it going?
Well, good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well. It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah. It's been quite a few months, I guess. Last year, it was late last year or something.
Yeah. So this is good, and I'm glad you're thinking about it in terms of, hey, I need to work on a workflow, because that's absolutely right, Tim. As you know, if there's no workflow or habit, it just becomes one of those things you keep kind of like punting to next week. Hey, you know, I'll get to that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, it's been the last little while, it's been a little quieter work-wise. So I've been focusing on getting something in place that I can do for 30 minutes or an hour, or if I have more time, longer, that I can just sort of come in, it's there, I do it, and it's done. You know, it's not a lot of thinking and evaluating and, well, maybe I should do this and maybe I should do that. And that seemed just to slow down the process, you know, that sort of upper level thinking that seems to go on with it. So as I said in my note, I'm sort of working on two fronts at the moment. One's LinkedIn and the other one is through email, and then just tracking it through a CRM.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, I was just curious as to whether you had some thoughts about where to move people, at what point to move people, to encourage them to communicate via email. I know Melanie Dodaro talks about getting them onto email at some point, and that seems to be at the point where she says, yeah, at that point is where you can start to talk about your services and stuff like that. But the transition between those two is not quite clear to me yet. Maybe she's got some stuff that I just missed. But
let's talk about that, because I can give you something really specific here. Okay. Here's the way I like to think of it. It's this is kind of the first thing that came to mind is, if you've ever been at somebody's house, maybe like usually a neighbor, let's say you get really along really well with your neighbors, and you know, maybe you had a block party, and maybe the party is happening there in the cul-de-sac, and everyone's having a good time, and you know, it'd be the equivalent of, if it's working there, and then suddenly somebody wants to go out. Hey, let's take this party to, you know, to the bar or to somebody's house. And it's just like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm having a good time here. And then if you do try to move it to somebody's house, it's almost like the energy is shifted, you know, and it's the same thing here. You want to keep people in the LinkedIn bucket until there's a natural way to transition there. And there's a lot you can do in LinkedIn before you have to, go over there. I used to think about it like, you know, this way, in that I used to be the opposite. I used to try to get people to email as quickly as possible, and I was having very little luck because of that. I think it was forcing it. Now I realize, you know, there's so much you can do on LinkedIn to kickstart the conversation and start building the relationship, that what's the hurry? Mm. You know, it's, you're not really limited. So here's the way I would think about it. And this leads to your second question, which is, I'm going to go ahead and bring it in because it's directly related to this. How soon after that initial contact, you made contact with somebody on LinkedIn, they've accepted your connection request, how soon should you ask them, I'm curious, do you use freelance writers from time to time, or do you do this in-house? Because directly related to this first question. So here's what I recommend. When you have a connection on LinkedIn, whether it's new or it's been there for a while, rather than force it and try to get them out of that bucket into the email bucket, do a few things. First of all, like the stuff they're sharing, not all of it, you know, don't be stalkish, but make it a point to every once in a while, you know, like and comment, or one or the other. So that's one thing you could do to show your appreciation of the fact that you're paying attention. The other thing you can do is to go to their company's LinkedIn page if they have one, and do the same thing there. Again, you know, it's a fine line there between being stalkish and starting to build a relationship. So this stuff takes time. You know, you can't rush it. So do both, company page and their personal page, their personal stuff. And then what I would do is I would try to start a conversation. And instead of asking, I like the approach of asking a question, but I wouldn't go straight to, hey, do you ever work with outside writers? Instead, I would ask a more, what I call a neutral question. It's a neutral question that's intended to kickstart some conversation, but it's a few steps before you would ask about the whole writer thing. And now, this question can be a little challenging because it's like, how do I ask something to hopefully kickstart some dialogue without make them feeling like I'm trying to sell something, you know? But let me give you some examples, and hopefully this will help give you some ideas. Hey, Tim, we connected on LinkedIn a few days ago or maybe a few months ago. Hey, love what you're doing, you know, with X. How's business? Okay. So open-ended. They usually are open-ended question. Or so the format is this. Hey, we kind of like an intro just so you know who I am. And then a question. So we connected on LinkedIn a few days ago. I'm just curious what kind of marketing content your prospects seem to be responding to this year. Or how do you typically come up with blog topic ideas? Or I'm curious, what types of buyers are you creating content for? In terms of marketing content, what types of buyers are you trying to connect with? Let me think here. Maybe make a comment on, maybe it's something that they posted, but rather than making a comment there, you say, hey, we connected, you know, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, I saw the post that you had, you know, on X, you know, what do you think of this other thing? Or make a comment and then ask them a question. You see what I'm saying? So it's, you're not going there yet. You're just trying to see at this point. Well, there's two purposes. If you can kickstart a conversation, and I think with the other thing, and this is something you've seen from me before, which is you're trying to be different. You're trying to show that I'm paying attention. This is really me, and I'm not going to do what everybody else does and pitch you. I'm actually going to type something out. This is not automated.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I can see where this is kind of going to as well, is that it's heading towards just being yourself. If that's sort of the thing, you know, it just, you're striking up a conversation, but instead of, you know, in a big room networking with a drink in one hand, you're on LinkedIn instead. So you're starting a conversation. You're asking questions about people, getting them to talk about themselves. And that makes
sense. Yeah, and it should be natural and sincere. So let me give you an example. So I've been using this approach in my coaching business, and it's working really, really well. Now it takes time, but that's the thing. Like all these good things take time. So one thing I've been doing is when I come across profiles of writers who, let's say, their focus is white papers, just as an example. I will look at their profile and see what kind of work they do and how they're positioning themselves. And then I'll send a connection request. And we can talk about that too, by the way. But and then with the connection request, I always send a personal note and say, hey, Cindy, Ed Gandia here. I thought I'd connect. So I won't say it again because the connection already shows who I am. I'll say, hey, Cindy, so smart of you to focus on white papers for medical devices, you know, such an exciting field. Wanted to see if we could connect here on LinkedIn. Right. So it's a personal note I'm showing them that I've actually paid attention. So to me, it actually starts there with a connection request. And I know with a lot of these that you're asking about, these are people you're already connected to, but I wanted to kind of take it one step further and give you another way where you can kickstart that dialogue by including a personal note. Melanie Dodaro talks about that, including a personal note with your request. Point to something that you are impressed with or something you notice about them, just like with warm emails, right? I noticed this about you.
Right. Yeah. That's something I've been doing in the email end of things. And I don't know why I didn't think to do that same thing with the connection requests in the chat and stuff. I mean, I've been doing that with the initial connection requests, you know, putting something in personal and then following it up with actually I borrowed it from the warm email thing. Is it, do you think we should connect, or it's words like that. I think it would be worthwhile for us to connect. So that it kind of leaves it open for them to think about it on their own and say, yeah, I think that might be a good idea, or well, I don't know, yeah. So it leaves them the option. Yeah,
absolutely. And then and notice where this is going, because think of it like a chess game. You know, in chess, you're supposed to always think 3-4 moves ahead. And I'll give you I'll explain this by showing you where a lot of these conversations go when I do it the way the example I gave you about, hey, smart of you to focus on white papers for medical device companies. Many of them will respond and say, oh, Ed, yeah, great to connect with you. And they may not know who I am. I love writing them, but I don't get as many of those projects as I'd like. I end up writing a lot of blog posts. Anyway, thanks for connecting. So then I'll respond. And then say, hey, yeah, thanks for your note. I know what you mean. You know, so many companies, they blog post is kind of where they gravitate toward. And then I'll ask a follow-up question. What do you think is keeping you from landing more white paper projects? And what I'm doing now is I'm digging. I'm trying to find where the pain is and to see if they will identify the pain and admit to the pain and talk about that pain. And listen, at that point, like you can imagine, each step we're moving forward, you start getting a drop off, right? So now it's a fewer percent that you respond to that question. So then those who do respond, you make a comment and you ask another follow-up question, and now you're getting fewer people who respond to that. So out of a group of 10, you might end up with only one, but that's fine.
Right.
Just like with anything in marketing, you're getting a leak at every stage or every step.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And then what you do for those who don't respond, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't change the fact that you could still look at what they're posting, you know, like the occasional post or make the occasional comment, that kind of thing.
Right. Great.
Somebody who's not willing to maybe start a conversation right now doesn't mean that they won't at some point in the future. All it is right now, it just didn't happen. It didn't spark. That's fine.
Yeah. There was no impetus to connect. There was nothing on their end that said, Ed, I could really use him right now. They're probably focused on something else at the moment. Another fire that they're putting out.
Absolutely. So what I would recommend, Tim, going back to your workflow question, and for you, Leslie, as well, is, and Leslie has a question on LinkedIn as well. I'm going to bring her in. But start trying this and document it as you go. So what I did is I created a document where I have connection questions or connection messages. So these are the messages, kind of the template that I use when I send out a connection request. And then I may have two different versions, one for when they are the ones who sent the request to me, and now I'm responding, which is always good practice, and when I'm the one making the connection request and I want to include a personalized message. The template, to, again, like you said earlier, you want to kind of reduce that cognitive load. You don't want to have to think about it too much. Right. Like if you have it in front of you, it's like, okay, cool, I can do this. And then you may have, then from there, another section in your Word document where you have some potential neutral questions that you ask. Just, again, a couple of different template variations. You know, I'm, hey, great, thanks for connecting. I'm just curious in terms of this, you know, what do you think of this thing? Or what's been your experience here? Or what are you finding in this area? And then after that, you'll have to figure out, okay, where do things typically go? It's either no response or, you know, one of these three things could happen. See, I find that you document this as you go because, yeah, we can all kind of guess where this could go, but we don't know until we try it. So that's what I would do from a documentation standpoint as far as workflow. And I think you'll find it won't be long if you send a few of these a day before you have something that's really solid that, you know, you'll continue to refine, but you have something really good that you can follow.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the, as we've been talking about, I'm in the refinement stage of this process, as I've mentioned. But yeah, this is all great stuff. Now, when you say documentation, are you talking about creating things in advance that I can then plug into, or are you talking about documenting as in tracking the contacts that I've made with people and setting up reminders and all that sort of, more like a CRM kind of
thing? Yeah. No, that's a tracking. Documenting means more like the process. So what are some ideas of things you could respond with, you know, in the next stage once they respond to the neutral question?
Okay.
So here's where I'm going with this. Let's say, hey, remember that sample question I gave you? Hey, you know, what do you find? What kind of prospects are you writing content for? Or whatever. You may respond with interesting. So what are you doing with this? Or what's been effective for you guys in this area? So that might be the next kind of line of questioning. And then if they respond, then I think that's a good place to then say, oh, That makes perfect sense. I'm curious, do you ever work with outside writers?
Mm. Yeah.
Notice okay. that like we've had several interactions before I'm asking that. And,
yes.
And I think that's the place to do it. So when I say document, I mean sample questions that you could use at different stages of the conversation.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. I get it. Yep.
Yeah. And let me bring Leslie in. Hold on, Leslie. Let me unmute you. Hey, Leslie, how's it going?
Great. Great. Thank you.
Excellent.
Let's see. I guess, yeah, I think LinkedIn's been valuable. I do notice, and I'm not always good about following up on this, but like that people are, you know, lurking, looking at my profile. And so How do you typically, you know, like if somebody from engineering looks at my profile, and I don't know them, you know, do you say, hey, I saw you looked at my profile? what do you think is the best way to handle that?
Yeah, great question. Several schools of thought on that. And what I find, it's a personal preference. I don't like this, you know, I saw that you looked at my profile, let's connect. I don't like that approach.
Okay.
It just feels awkward to me.
Yeah.
Instead, what I like to do is I like to use the event to my advantage. Have you ever been, you know, about this trend of remarketing or retargeting that's used in the online world?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Okay, so let's say you're shopping for shoes, dress shoes, and you go to this website, And you look at shoes, and then you get busy, and you say, you know what, I'll look at this later. And then the next day you go and open up your Gmail, and you go to a couple of different websites, and you start seeing all these ads for shoes.
Yeah, okay.
That's free marketing. What that does is that website basically plays cookies in your browser that says, okay, this person is looking for shoes. And then what they do is they buy ad space and all these different ads that are dynamic. And they put that in front of you just to remind you. Now, they're not saying, if you ever notice, these ads never say, hey, don't forget the shoes that you were looking at and browsing through at our website. They just say, you know, what's the famous shoe website? They just Zappos. They just show like a Zappos ad with some shoes. Now, they might still show you the shoes that you looked at, but they don't say, you were looking at these, what happened? that would be creepy. It's the same thing here.
Yeah.
You want enough to, because you know like you're kind of top of mind, so you want to take advantage of that, but you don't want to rub it in their face. So what I like to do is, if I've seen that recently, they've looked at my profile, then I'll send a connection request and I'll do the same thing that I would do even if they didn't. So I will point to something I noticed about them. Hey, saw that you guys are doing X, or that, you know, saw the, you know, the case studies you have posted on your website. They're excellent.
Okay.
Wanted to connect here on LinkedIn if you're willing. I might explain who I am, but that's it. And usually that's enough to kind of trigger the Leslie looks familiar, in which works to your advantage. You see the difference?
Is it too much to say I have a writing business that focuses on the architecture, engineering, construction industry? Is that crossing?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Okay.
I think that's fine. I know,
like Wayne Breitbart says, you know, I'd be honored if you would join my network. That's the line he likes to use.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a personal preference thing. I don't like to just use that and that's it.
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone uses. The, hi, Leslie, be honored if you join my network. That's just not enough.
Yeah.
But hi, Leslie. So let's say I went to your website. Hey, I see that you focus on, you know, the AEC market. You know, so many opportunities there. Hey, I'm a coach who works with writers and copywriters to help build their business. I'd love to connect with you here on LinkedIn if you're willing.
Okay.
I think that's fine. Because without that, it might. You could look at my title, my LinkedIn headline, but I think it could go either way. You know, honestly, I've never tested it, Leslie.
Okay.
You could leave that part out and let your LinkedIn headline do the talking as well as your relevant message.
Yeah, I guess my default has always been to say what I do, but so I'll probably do that if you don't think it's wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it's wrong. I mean, you could test it, but even testing, I'm not sure if you would get valid results. I think it's a matter of personal preference. Looking back at the way I've done it, is I typically leave that part out.
Okay.
Because here's why. For me and what I do, so many of my peers are so pushy and that they've left they've kind of given the business a bad name. So I try to be mindful of that and then just kind of back off and just let my note and then somebody taking a second to look at my LinkedIn headline, let them make a decision based on that.
Okay. All right.
Because I mean, if you think about it, if you retrace your steps, I bet that every time somebody sends you a connection request, you automatically look at their profile or at least their headline.
Right.
To see who they are, right?
Right. Yep.
And that might be, in a way, more powerful, but it depends on how you feel about it. I would say trust your gut.
Okay.
And, you know, I think you could do a simple test and that you could do 10 requests, people who don't know you, including that line, and then 10 without, and then look to see what percentage accepted your request. You could base it on that. And that's not a statistically valid test, but I think it will give you some good feedback.
Okay. All right. And then yeah. I think one probably I'll say it's a mistake that me being too pushy is saying, asking right away, do you ever need freelance writers? So probably I should hold off on that. And
oh yeah.
Accept and like you say, make it more of a drip instead of boom right away.
That one I would definitely leave out. So you start with Tim, I was telling him about, maybe if you were to document it, I like to think of it as chambers in a submarine. Okay. Because chambers in a submarine, they're connected. And the reason you need to move from one chamber to the next is once you close the chamber door, once it's shut, then that the water is going to flow into that one you just left. Mm-hmm. Right. If you think about moving through an old school submarine, then you move to the next one, shut the door. And so it's the same thing here. I'm trying to move from one chamber to the next, dropping a question and looking to see if they're willing to move to the next chamber with me. So the first question is, it's the request, connection request. Hey, love what you're doing, or I saw what you're doing here. I'd love to connect on LinkedIn if you're willing. Notice I left out in my case the, here's what I do. So some people automatically say, hey, great, yeah, thanks for the request, great to connect with you. A very small percentage might say, I'm curious if what kind of writing do you do, or can you send me some information on your services? We might be looking for someone. The occasional prospect at that stage, because you just touch them at the right time, but most won't. Okay, so then the next kind of chamber is a neutral question. And this is maybe a few days later. Maybe it's once they've accepted your request. That would be a natural time. Hey, thanks for accepting my request. I'm curious, what type of content do your projects or prospects seem to be responding to this year? Or do you use this type of piece in your marketing efforts? Or what's been working, what type of buyers are you creating content for? I don't know, something along those lines. That's the next chamber. Then the chamber after that, should they go ahead and respond, is maybe, what are you doing in this area of content marketing? Or how are you using this type of content? What's been effective for you guys here? Those are all sample questions. You want to pick one.
Yeah.
And then maybe the next chamber after that is, oh, interesting. Well, I'm curious, do you ever work with outside writers?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like four chambers removed from the original connection.
Okay.
So this is something I've been experimenting with lately, and that's as far as I've gotten in terms of documenting it, is these chambers. They help me figure out where the conversation is. That's why I like to think of it that way.
Yeah.
They give it some definition. As opposed to, I don't know, what should I ask next, or what should I respond with? Now I know. Well, based on how they responded last, here's where we are in the conversation.
And do you record that in the CRM or just like an Excel spreadsheet, or how do you?
You know what? I just put it in a Word document.
Word document. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. I'm sure you could get pretty fancy with it. And
yeah, I'm not too fancy. Yeah. I've been keeping track of the contacts I make, like what meeting or what's my best response for getting prospects. And for me personally, it's been American Marketing Association meeting and social media breakfast in Madison. Uh-huh. So that's one thing I've been doing, is to try to say, okay, how should I spend my time? Where am I getting the most bang for my buck?
Well, you know what? You could combine that with LinkedIn. That would be extremely powerful. Think of this, and you can probably think of three or four different possible scenarios. You met somebody at the recent breakfast, and it was a very short interaction, but then you sent them a LinkedIn request. And now that LinkedIn request, the message you include, can be much more personalized.
Yeah.
Hey, we met at the... right at the breakfast on Tuesday. It was great to chat with you. Love to connect with you on LinkedIn. That takes the place of, I noticed this about you. because now you have something stronger that you've actually met.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we're both members of the, you know, XYZ. I think with that one, you need the extra oomph in the, I know this about you, or I notice this about you, love what you're doing here or whatever. Wanted to connect on LinkedIn if you're willing.
Okay.
Because a lot of people use the, hey, we're both members of ABC as the meaningful connection. And I find that that's not enough. And you know why? Because it's been abused.
Okay. And I guess even if, like, if somebody I've been connected with for a while that's in SMPS is the marketing for the AEC industry, you know, hi, Marie, how you doing? I really like on the website how you're doing case studies. And then asking some question or something like what you were saying too, like the warm prospecting.
You could absolutely do that. In fact, I'm a big believer in rekindling relationships on LinkedIn. I think it's a untapped gold mine. You know, let's say you have 300 contacts and most of them you haven't really been in touch with. Those where I've actually met in person, that would be a good category to start with. Hey, Lane, Ed here. It's been so long. How are things on your side of the world? I mean, something that simple. It's crazy the conversations that you will spark.
Yeah.
Because we're always thinking in terms of new connections. But if you have, you know, 300, 400, 500 contacts on LinkedIn, some of these people you've actually met in person, whether you have or not, it doesn't matter. Why not send something to try to kickstart a conversation with them, to rekindle that relationship? And something like that, and if you can add just one or two words that would show the person that you wrote it just for them, has a really high chance of getting a response.
Okay, those are all good comments.
Yeah. Those are your, when you think about it, those are your highest probability people, aren't they? I mean, everything when compared to a cold prospect who's never connected with you or doesn't know you.
Okay.
So,
Tim, it's a question.
Yeah. So do you want to talk, Leslie, about the question you pre-submitted regarding your involvement with...
Sure, I can finish up on that. All right. So I joined ACEC, that's the engineering companies, and I said I wanted to get involved, and they said, okay, well, we have a PR committee meeting tomorrow. So I got involved right away. And I've been active. I, wrote draft of this brochure, and I wrote emails, and then I edited the brochure. And then the last meeting, they said, oh, we really have to redo our website content. And, you know, at one point do I say, you know, this is my business. I mean, you know, there are people there, you know, I'm the only one that's solo. And there's others, you know, like the brochure was done by the graphic department of, you know, a member. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I just keep going on, you know, doing it and then, you know, have to wait for a while. I mean, I just joined. This is August and I joined in July.
Yeah, very recent. So your question really is, you know, it's a very common one, which is I join, I'm getting involved. How much should I give? Because they're taking. If I offer it, they're taking. Right. Where do I draw the line between giving away my expertise and you know, just adding value in some other ways? And it's your decision. There's no right or wrong. Okay. I think the biggest question is, Leslie, depends on where you are in your business, because I'll give you two extremes. When I was getting started, I did something very similar. I was willing to do whatever. I didn't have any clients. You know, I just needed to get some activity. In the way of samples, I needed it all. I needed samples. I needed some connections. I needed some relationships. I needed some confidence. And I helped them with a brochure. Then it was going to be the website. it was kind of on hold, but I did some landing pages for them. And, but I was willing to keep going.
Okay.
It stopped because at that point, their membership director introduced me to some people and invited me to some meetings. And then I got involved in some other ways. And she was really cool. Like, she knew not to take advantage. She knew where to draw the line. So it depends. First thing, where are you in your business? How much work capacity do you have? How much are you willing to give away? Only you can make that determination. However, in terms of, like, if you're in a situation the other side of the spectrum, when, you know, I'm busy, I can't, you know, I can't afford to give all that up. Don't feel like you have to. Don't feel like you have to. There are many ways to volunteer your time and talent that don't necessarily require you to give away a lot of free work. And the way that I like to, because it's hard, like, we're not really raised to say no in Western society. It feels rude. You need to approach it in kind of like a business person and say, this is what I'm willing to do. Here's what I can't do. And here's why. So here's what I can do. Here's what I can't, unfortunately. Let me explain why. That format works really, really well. So something to the effect of, look, I'm absolutely willing to help you with, you know, I'll help you with this brochure. I'm willing to help you with this email series. Website, I know you need help there. I can't help you with that. Here's why. And the explanation could be something as simple as, you know, I have, as a solo practitioner, I have very limited work capacity. And every chunk of that I give away is an opportunity. There's an opportunity cost. You know, I can't bill for that. So I'm turning down billable work. And because it's only me in my business, and I have numbers I have to hit, I just can't afford to give away that much. Now, you know, if you guys, and I'm not saying you would, but if you were willing to, you know, hire me, I'd be willing to give you, you know, a discounted rate or a heavily discounted fee. I'd be happy to work with you, but I can't. That is, I can't do that part. And again,
okay, well, those are good options to keep in mind. I mean, it hasn't really come up, but they were, you know, this last meeting they were saying, now I know we have to, you know, redo the website pages, and maybe, you know, I have to find out more of what that is, or say I can do so much per month or something. But, you know, like, if they want their whole website done, I can't do that for free.
No. And you know, notice the difference between saying, okay, that I can't do for free, it's going to be this much. Do you want to hire me for that? Not that you would say those words, but that message, as opposed to, I can't, I'm sorry. Now, if you're, you know, if you wanted to, if you had a budget for it, I'd be willing to do, but it's unassuming. You're not saying, okay, for that, it's going to be this much. You ready? You ready to get started? No, you're not assuming that. You're saying, look, I can't. Here's why. If you had a budget, if you're willing to talk about that, then yeah, I mean, I can give you a great deal, but I'm not expecting you. I'm not sure what your situation is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That was useful. We'll see what happens next.
Yeah. You know what I would do? I would focus my, I think it's every once in a while, it's fine to volunteer some of that. But yeah. I would focus most of my volunteer effort on things such as planning meetings and events and coordinating, because so much needs to be done. You know, as you're finding out already, a lot of it is doing. And even if it's not the kind of doing that relates to your expertise. So, for instance, many times when I volunteered, it was about coordinating next month's meeting. In making sure we had panelists, finding those panelists, coordinating with them, making sure they had what they needed, whatever. This is work that anybody could do, right? It's not copywriting. But somebody needs to do it. And I find that volunteering for that kind of stuff, not only was it easy, but that's when your peers start getting to know you, number one.
Yeah.
And much of the work will come from them, not from direct clients, because it'll come from them as in they're referring you to others because they've seen your work ethic. And guess what? When many times, I never thought this would happen, but when you're coordinating these things and you're calling these marketing directors to see if they can be in the panel, suddenly you're forming a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Especially, of course, you connect with them on LinkedIn, and now you're their point of contact, and it just happens in a very organic way. It's like, Ed, hey, thanks again for bringing me in. Hey, let me ask you, I was looking at your profile when you connected with me on LinkedIn, and I saw that you do this. Do you write white papers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. That's good to know. We may have a need for someone in the next few months because we're thinking about doing X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, there you go. With these things, you can't go into it with really high expectations. You just have to have serendipity do its work.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Right. I feel better now.
there you go. You were thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? Good stuff. All right, guys. All right, let's see. Questions? Any questions? Anything you need feedback on? This has been a great conversation. I'm glad we went down this road, because especially the LinkedIn thing, it applies to both sets of questions you guys had. And it's just fascinating the way you can use this tool to complement what you might be doing with warm email prospecting, by the way. One of the questions, and I'll bring this up because it hasn't come up, but I do get asked, well, who do you send a warm email to as opposed to a LinkedIn request? It's up to you. What I'm recommending today is I still like to start with a warm email, but if you can't find somebody's contact information, then the next natural step would be to then start in that conversation over on LinkedIn and just keep it there. It's kind of a good backup scenario. Tim asked, how long should you wait for a response to a LinkedIn connection request or a reboot? I would wait at least 2 or 3 weeks. And then, Tim, you know what you could do is you can, I forget where it is in LinkedIn. I think it's in there's a folder with requests, incoming requests, and there's a link there where you can click on sent requests you've sent out. One thing I've heard the pros talk about is it might not be a bad idea to remove your request. So if it's been sitting out there for, let's say, 3 weeks, just remove your request for now, withdraw it, and then wait a while and then send it back again. Just because it'll be fresh, as opposed to just being there. There's a chance that they're not seeing it or they're not sure what to do with it. And it's better if you withdraw it than, I think that's the reasoning, that you withdraw it instead of risking that they'll click until LinkedIn, I don't know this person, something like that. I don't think that would happen with the kind of personalized message we're talking about here. But 2-3 weeks, and the reason I like that, 2-3 weeks, I've seen stats that show that a lot of LinkedIn users are only logging into LinkedIn something like 3 times a month or something like that. So it's not like Facebook, where the people who use Facebook, generally speaking, they're there, several times a week, if not every day. Yeah, okay, so I've seen that. 2-3 weeks, withdraw, and then resend makes sense. Yeah, so wait a little while and then resend. And frankly, Tim, I know a lot of people stay really organized with this stuff, and then they make a note, okay, in 1 more month, I'm going to resend it. I just don't have that kind of patience. I like to kind of play the numbers game. So I'm just kind of moving on, because there's so many prospects that I'd rather just kind of move on. And, if I come across them again, that's different. But I kind of like just kind of go to the next prospect and then send another invite. All right. Any other questions? Items you need feedback on. All right, so here's what I'd like to know, guys. Great conversation. I'm glad it was very personal today. What was your top takeaway from today's conversation? If you had to pick one thing that was really helpful, what would it be? Top takeaway from today's conversation. Let me know in the chat area. And also, while you're thinking about it, talking about takeaways, I want to make sure you leave with at least one concrete action item, something very tangible that you can start taking action on this week. Great ideas are great, but without action, they're meaningless. So let me know both your top takeaway and your top action item over the next week. Tim says it's all good. Good. So Tim, let me know top action item then. And Leslie says, using a four-step approach for LinkedIn requests. Item, look at people who have looked at my LinkedIn profile. Oh, it's top action item, look at people who have looked at my LinkedIn profile and look for a way to connect as noted above. Oh, awesome. That's a great, such an easy way, right? I mean, that's kind of LinkedIn delivering these contacts to you on a silver platter. Here you go. If you want to know where to start, that'd be a great place. Of course, assuming that these are all relevant contacts, if you had somebody from, you know, a totally different business in a faraway country, look at that, may have been an accident. But yeah, anyone who could be potentially a prospect, yes. Tim says, LinkedIn doesn't have to be the waiting room for prospect interaction. Yeah, I like the way you're thinking about that, the way you describe that. It could be a great way to spark some conversation or rekindle some relationships, even though they're very dormant. Yeah, Leslie say definitely, especially engineering firm prospects. Yes, those are absolute ones. And I think it's going to be much more powerful, Leslie, if you go about it that way without mentioning the whole, yeah, I saw that you looked at my profile. Action item for Tim, begin building the documentation for LinkedIn questions, conversation starters. Perfect. And again, Tim, I think what you'll find, because I've tried a few iterations of this, is once you get started, you'll be able to refine it. But what helped me, you know, I don't know, I'm very visual, was this whole chamber idea. It's like chamber number one is this one, and then chamber number two, and then chamber three. And what you want to do is, well, what's the ultimate chamber? Like begin with the end in mind, Stephen Covey. Ultimately, I want to kickstart a conversation about how I may be able to help them with a writing assignment. But working backward from that, the way most people do it is, oh, well, the only chamber I can think of is the, hey, do you ever use outside writers? You skipped a few chambers on the way there. That chamber is right before the conversation about a project, but there's a few different chambers that you should kind of insert between that. Good. Tim says he likes the chambers idea. Awesome. All right, guys, great conversation today. Glad to hear that it was helpful. You got some good takeaways. You got some tangible action items. Thanks for joining me. Thank you for being a good sport. And hey, we'll talk with you next month, September, Platinum Call. We're wrapping up the year. That's crazy, September already next month. I'm ready for fall, that's for sure. You guys have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk again real soon.